Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves.
We're at the Authors Studio at Book Expo America 2011 in New York City, and we're chatting with author David Hagberg. You know that name. He is a New York Times best-selling author. He's got the fan favorite, Kirk McGarvey, solving all the world's problems here and there. And in the latest edition, the book is called Abyss.
I had somebody stop by. We were signing books a little while ago, and she said, "Oh, my son saw the movie 20 years ago, Abyss, and just loved it." And I really had to break it to her that, no, this is a different Abyss, a better Abyss, but I loved the movie.
All right, so your character, Kirk McGarvey, we have known and loved ever since The Expediter.
First was Without Honor a number of years ago, where he was running away from his wife and there's a lot of other things, and he was living in Lausanne, Switzerland, and he started kicking serious butt then, and he's been kicking serious butt ever since.
Well, how has McGarvey changed from the very first time we met him to The Expediter, through The Cabal, and now in The Abyss, or I should say Abyss?
That's an interesting question. I used to write under the pen name Sean Flannery, and I had this spy, American spy, on the verge of retiring. He was 64. And this is going to be just a one-shot book, but it was up for the American Book Award, so I had to bring him back. So I aged him. He's 65 in the next book, 66 in the next book. And by the time I got to a point, he was 70 years old, and I'm saying, Jesus, he's a little old to be pulling a gun. He's going to shoot himself in the foot. His gray hair, his teeth are falling out. So I was on a panel once with Mickey Spleen. He said, "Well, don't age the guy." So Kirk McGarvey has always been 50s. And if you look too closely, so I'm giving away secrets, in the first books, his parents had worked at the end of Los Alamos on an atomic bomb. They were accused of being spies. Kirk himself was in Vietnam as a special forces guy. But if that's the case, he'd be 70 now. So Kirk stays about the same age. But what has happened with McGarvey is, I don't know if you want to call him a bellwether of what's going on. In a book, a couple of books ago, he finds Osama bin Laden in Karachi, hiding sort of in open. And he corners him, and he's got a pistol on Obama's head. And Obama says, "You're not going to take me in."
Osama.
Yeah, Osama bin Laden. "You're not going to take me in. That's not the American way. You're going to take me in justice." And he said, "Wrong answer." Bam, shot him. And I thought, I loved it. And so there was some criticism of us, you know, killing bin Laden over in Pakistan. And they didn't give him his rights. Well, how many rights did the people in the trade towers get? None. Nobody ever asked him. Nobody put him on trial and said, "Okay, you're going to be killed now." And so McGarvey is doing things for his country that we'd all love to do, but we can't put the CIA, we can't put, you know, the whole weight of the government. But Kirk McGarvey, he'll go in and kick some serious booty. That's why I love him.
Abyss is very up-to-date. Current events, technology. Tell me how you integrate all those things.
Yeah, in a way, it scared the hell out of me because I came up with an idea. I was reading something about this called PAX Scientific Impellers. It's in the book, and it's a way of moving water around. You can take a quarter horsepower motor and a small agitator and move 100 million gallons of water with just a few watts. We'll put the reverse. If you put an impeller like that, only 25 feet in diameter, in the Gulf Stream, you could generate all the free electricity you want, or cheap electricity you want, and you're not doing anything. Except, I did a little math, and I found out that the Gulf Stream and the Goulas Current in Africa and the Humboldt Current on the West Coast, they do nothing more than change heat energy from one part of the planet to the other. So I said it's a closed system. So if we start taking energy out of the system, something's got to happen. Well, we played around with it enough, and you found out that if you took enough energy out of the Gulf Stream, we would mitigate, if not completely eradicate, hurricanes. Because it evolved from there. So she's doing this thing, and who's against her? All the people with nuclear power and all, especially big oil. So I've got the big oil and the derivatives and the credit default swap guys, and in this case, a gal making bajillions bajillions of dollars. They want to stop her, and they'll do almost anything. So they sabotage a nuclear power plant. At some point, it was the same as Fukushima, Daiichi. Same thing happened, except Kirk McGarvey saves the day. And then, so she's got an oil platform that's going to be pulled around the east coast of Florida, and they sabotage that thing. So I got BP, the oil. So this was written before those two things happened. So I've done this before, and somebody said, why don't you start writing love stories or something instead of all this kind of stuff where people get killed and buildings blowing up?
So you're calling this an eco-thriller? I mean, everybody's going green. Might as well go green
absolutely.
As well, right?
But my publisher, Tom Doherty, and he and I have been friends since Gross and Dunlap days. That's like about 40 years ago. He said to my editor, he said, why don't we have David write an eco-thriller? And I said, oh, my God, it sounds boring as hell. We're going to sit around in an office talking about how to go green and save the planet from CO2. How wretchedly boring can that be? And so I thought, no, we'll put Kirk McGarvey in it. We'll start killing people. And that'll zip up the action. It does.
David, you are known for crafting thrilling action scenes. I'm wondering how you go about that process. Is it painstaking for you?
Because my wife, we've been married 44 years. She's used to it. Now, if I've got a fight scene and do this, I'll say, Lori, come here a minute. And I'll do a roundhouse and not connect. I say, okay, it hit just below jaw, just behind, below your ear. And now I'm going to kick you in the knee and you're going to go down. And I say, okay, that's how you do it. And I go back in and go type, 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 type. And so, I mean, she'll walk out and I'm pacing off a distance in the house from the living room to the dining room. So what are you doing? I said, I want to know how far would be a feasible pistol shot. 200 inches, you've got to be a pretty good pistol shot. And I want to know if McGarvey can do this at 300 or 400 inches. So I said, stand there, I'm going to pace back 300 inches and see what kind of a target you do. Yes, dear.
Sounds like you have a very vivid imagination.
You know, we talked about that, and I've talked to writing classes. I said, you know, when you're 3 and 4 before school, before kindergarten, you get a toy or a present. It's a big cardboard box. You play with the present for one day, and then the cardboard box becomes a spaceship, a submarine, the Indians and cowboys and all that. You get into school, and they say, now you got to learn arithmetic. You got to learn how to read, and pretty soon you're busy, and then you graduate from school and college. You got to wear three-piece suits and wingtip shoes, and your imagination goes out the door. I never grew up. So I got the imagination, that muscle of like a kid, only a 68 years old. So, yeah, I do have an imagination.
With a lot of energy to go with it. What's next for Kirk McGarvey?
There's a new book I just finished called Castro's Daughter, in which Fidel Castro's on his deathbed brings his illegitimate daughter, who he's never, you know, acknowledged, and said, you've got to do something for me. It's a salvation of Cuba. It's a salvation of our people. And Kirk McGarvey is the only one can help you. Go to Kirk McGarvey. And then he dies. And she's the head of operations for the Cuban Secret Intelligence Service. So she goes to Kirk, and it's a long roundabout way. There's some kidnappings. And he finally, in the very end, you have to read the book. I don't know when I just delivered the manuscript. So Kirk's got more to do, but he'll still be about 50.
Wonderful. In the meantime, the latest is called Abyss, again by David Hagberg. David, a lot of good luck with the new book.
I thank you.